Fifth section for recitation, Hiranyavati. Then the Blessed One said to the Venerable Ananda, "Come, Ananda, we shall move on to the further bank of the river Hiranyavati, to Upavatana, the sal grove of the Malas at Kusinara." "Yes, sir," replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One made his way with a large community of monks across the Hiranyavati to the sal grove at Kusinara, in the land of the Malas. There he spoke to the Venerable Ananda. "Ananda, could you prepare a bed for me between two sal trees, with the head to the north? I am tired and must lie down." "Yes, sir," replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. And he prepared a bed between two sal trees, with the head to the north. Then the Blessed One lay down on his right side as a lion does, covering one foot with the other, mindful and fully aware. Now at that time those two sal trees were all abloom with flowers out of season, and they rained down their blossoms in worship of the Tathagata, showering and covering his body. Divine Mandarava flowers too fell from the sky, raining down in worship of the Tathagata, showering and covering his body. Likewise divine sandalwood powder. Divine instruments were sounded in the sky in worship of the Tathagata, and divine songs were being sung. The Blessed One spoke to the Venerable Ananda. "The two sal trees, all abloom with flowers out of season, are raining down their blossoms in worship of the Tathagata, showering and covering his body. Divine Mandarava flowers, too, are falling from the sky, raining down in worship of the Tathagata, showering and covering his body. Likewise, divine sandalwood powder. Divine instruments are sounding in the sky in honour of the Tathagata, and divine songs are being sung. Yet this does not amount to the showing of respect, honour, reverence, worship, or recognition to the Tathagata. The one who respects, honours, reveres, and worships the Tathagata with the ultimate worship is the monk or nun, the layman or laywoman, who lives practising the teaching and its subtleties, conducting him or herself properly, living in accordance with the truth. Therefore, Ananda, you should undertake the training with the thought, we shall live practising the teaching and its subtleties, conducting ourselves properly, living in accordance with the truth." Now at that time the Venerable Upavana was standing in front of the Blessed One, fanning him. And the Blessed One rebuked him, "Move away, monk, do not stand in front of me." Then the Venerable Ananda thought, "The Venerable Upavana has long been an attendant of the Blessed One, staying close, keeping nearby. Yet now, in his final hour, the Blessed One rebukes him, telling him to move away and not stand in front of him. What is the reason for the Blessed One's rebuke? What is the cause?" So the Venerable Ananda spoke to the Blessed One, "Sir, the Venerable Upavana has long been an attendant of the Blessed One, staying close, keeping nearby. Yet now, in your final hour, the Blessed One rebukes him, telling him to move away and not stand in front of him. What is the reason for the Blessed One's rebuke? What is the cause?" "Ananda, most of the gods of the 10 world systems are assembled here to see the Tathagata. For 12 leagues around Upavatana, the sal grove of the Malas at Kusinara, there is no spot the size of a point at the tip of a hair not crowded with powerful gods. And the gods are complaining. We have come from afar to see the Tathagata, for Tathagatas, perfectly awakened arahats, appear in the world only once in a while, and tonight, in the last watch, his final nibbana will take place. But this powerful monk is standing in front of the Blessed One, preventing us from getting a view of the Tathagata in his final hour." "But, sir, what sort of beings are these gods that the Blessed One is aware of?" "There are the gods who conceive of the earth in space. With dishevelled hair they spread their arms wide and call out. They fall to the ground broken and roll back and forth. All too soon will the Blessed One attain final Nibbana. All too soon will the Happy One attain final Nibbana. All too soon will the eye of the world disappear. There are the gods who conceive of the earth in earth. With dishevelled hair they spread their arms wide and call out. They fall to the ground, broken, and roll back and forth. All too soon will the Blessed One attain final Nibbana. All too soon will the Happy One attain final Nibbana. All too soon will the eye of the world disappear. But those gods who are without greed are mindful and fully aware. They accept that conditioning forces are impermanent, so how else could it be? In the past, sir, monks who had spent the rainy season in the different regions used to come to see the Tathagata. We received them as cherished monks who had come to see and show their devotion. But after the Blessed One has gone, we cannot receive those monks. There are these four places, Ananda, that should be seen by a faithful man of family that will stir his heart. Which four? Where the Tathagata was born is a place that should be seen by a faithful man of family that will stir his heart. Where the Tathagata awakened to unsurpassed perfect awakening is a place that should be seen by a faithful man of family that will stir his heart. Where the Tathagata turned the unsurpassed wheel of truth is a place that should be seen by a faithful man of family that will stir his heart. Where the Tathagata attained Nibbana by the element of Nibbana without any remnant of attachment is a place that should be seen by a faithful man of family that will stir his heart. Monks and nuns, laymen and laywomen will come thinking, here is where the Tathagata was born, and here is where he awakened to unsurpassed perfect awakening, and here is where he turned the unsurpassed wheel of truth. And here is where he attained Nibbana by the element of Nibbana without any remnant of attachment. All those who die with faithful hearts while they are in pilgrimage to a shrine will, at the breaking up of the body after death, be born in a happy realm, a heaven world. Sir, how shall we conduct ourselves with regard to women? By not looking, Ananda. But when we look, sir, how shall we conduct ourselves? By not talking, Ananda. But when we talk, sir, how shall we conduct ourselves? Mindfulness must be established, Ananda. How shall we treat the Tathagata's body? Ananda, don't concern yourselves with the Tathagata's funeral. You should strive for the true goal. You should be devoted to the true goal. You should live applying yourselves to the true goal, determined, attentive. There are knowledgeable rulers, knowledgeable Brahmins, and knowledgeable householders too, who are committed to the Tathagata. They will conduct the Tathagata's funeral. But, sir, how shall we treat the Tathagata's body? Ananda, the Tathagata's body should be treated as people treat the body of a wheel-turning king. And how, sir, do people treat the body of a wheel-turning king? First, they wrap the body in unused cloth, then in teased cotton, then again in unused cloth. And when in this manner they have wrapped the body in 500 double layers, they place it in an iron coffin full of oil. This they enclose in another iron coffin. Then they make a funeral pyre of all kinds of incense and cremate the body. Afterwards, they build a stupa for the wheel-turning king, where four roads meet. This is how people treat the body of a wheel-turning king. As people treat the body of a wheel-turning king, so the Tathagata's body should be treated. A stupa should be built for the Tathagata where four roads meet. When people place a garland, fragrance or paste there, or make respectful salutations, or bring peace to their hearts, that will contribute to their long-lasting welfare and happiness. These four are worthy of a stupa. Which four? A Tathagata who is an Arahat and perfectly awakened Buddha is worthy of a stupa. A one-off Buddha, a realized disciple of a Tathagata, and a wheel-turning king are worthy of a stupa. And what is the reason why a Tathagata is worthy of a stupa? With the thought, this is the stupa of a Tathagata, people bring peace to their hearts. And by bringing peace to their hearts at the breaking up of the body after death, they are born in a happy realm, a heaven world. This is the reason why a Tathagata is worthy of a stupa. And what is the reason why a one-off Buddha, a realized disciple, a wheel-turning king is worthy of a stupa? With the thought, this is the stupa of a one-off Buddha, of a realized disciple, of a wheel-turning king, people bring peace to their hearts. And by bringing peace to their hearts, at the breaking up of the body after death, they are born in a happy realm, a heaven world. Then the Venerable Ananda entered the monk's dwelling and stood leaning against the gatepost, weeping. Here I am a trainee with work still to do, but my teacher, the one who shows me sympathy, is about to attain final nibbana. Then the Blessed One asked the monks, where is Ananda? The Venerable Ananda has entered the monk's dwelling and is standing leaning against the gatepost, weeping. Here I am, a trainee with work still to do, but my teacher, the one who shows me sympathy, is about to attain final nibbana. Then the Blessed One said to a monk, go, monk, and call Ananda in my name, saying, Venerable Ananda, the teacher calls you. Yes, sir, replied that monk to the Blessed One. And he went to the Venerable Ananda and said to him, Venerable Ananda, the teacher calls you. Yes, replied the Venerable Ananda to the monk. And he went to the Blessed One, saluted him respectfully, and sat down to one side. Once the Venerable Ananda was seated, the Blessed One said to him, enough, Ananda, do not grieve and lament. Have I not warned about this before? We must lose and be deprived of and separated from everything pleasant and dear. So how else could it be that something that is born, come into being, conditioned, and of a nature to decay should not decay? This cannot happen. For a long time, Ananda, you have attended on the Tathagata, acting in body, kindly, helpfully, gladly, honestly, without limits. For a long time you have attended on the Tathagata acting in speech, in thought, kindly, helpfully, gladly, honestly, without limits. You have made merit, Ananda. Keep on applying yourself, and very soon you will be free of the taints. Then the Blessed One addressed the monks. Those Blessed Ones who were perfectly awakened Arahats in the past also had their special attendants, just as I have Ananda. Those Blessed Ones who will be perfectly awakened Arahats in the future will also have their special attendants, just as I have Ananda. Monks, Ananda is skilled. He knows when is the right time for monks to come and see the Tathagata, when is the right time for nuns, for laymen, for laywomen, for a king, for royal ministers, for religious leaders, for their disciples. These four remarkable and extraordinary qualities are found in Ananda. Which four? If a group of monks comes to see Ananda, they are pleased by seeing him. If Ananda then relates the teaching, they are pleased by what he says, but dissatisfied when he is silent. If a group of nuns, a group of laymen, a group of laywomen comes to see Ananda, they are pleased by seeing him. If Ananda then relates the teaching, they are pleased by what he says, but dissatisfied when he is silent. These are the four remarkable and extraordinary qualities found in Ananda. These four remarkable and extraordinary qualities are found in a wheel-turning king. Which four? If a group of rulers, a group of Brahmins, a group of householders, a group of ascetics comes to see a wheel-turning king, they are pleased by seeing him. If the wheel-turning king then speaks, they are pleased by what he says, but dissatisfied when he is silent. In exactly the same way, four remarkable and extraordinary qualities are found in Ananda. When he had said this, the Venerable Ananda spoke to the Blessed One. Sir, the Blessed One should not attain final nibbana in this mud wall town, this remote provincial town. Sir, there are other important cities such as Kampar, Rajagaha, Sarvati, Sarkita, Kosambi, and Benares. The Blessed One should attain final nibbana in one of these. In these cities there are many wealthy rulers, Brahmins and householders who are committed to the Tathagata. They will conduct the Tathagata's funeral. Ananda, do not say that this is a mud-wall town, a remote provincial town. Long ago there was a king called Mahasudassana, a wheel-turning king, a righteous king of truth, a sovereign of the four quarters who maintained the stability of the country. This town of Kusinara was the royal city of King Mahasudassana and was called Kusavati. 12 leagues in length on the east and west sides and 7 leagues across on the north and south sides, the royal city of Kusavati was successful and prosperous with many inhabitants, full of people and well provided with food, just as Alakamanda, the royal city of the gods, is successful and prosperous with many inhabitants, full of divine beings, and well provided with food. Day and night the royal city of Kusavati was filled with the 10 sounds. The sound of elephants, horses, carriages, kettle drums, tabors, vinas, singing, cymbals, gongs, and lastly the sound of the cries of "Eat, drink, and be merry." Ananda, go into Kusinara and tell the malice there that tonight, in the last watch, the final nibbana of the Tathagata will happen. Tell them that they must come and not later regret that, although the Tathagata attained final nibbana in the vicinity of their village, they didn't get to see him in his last hours. "Yes, sir," replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. Then he put on his outer robes and, taking his bowl, went into Kusinara with a companion. At that time, the malice of Kusinara had sat down together in the meeting hall to deal with some matter. So the Venerable Ananda went to the meeting hall and told them, "Tonight, in the last watch, the final nibbana of the Tathagata will happen. Vasetas, you must come. Do not later regret that, although the Tathagata attained final nibbana in the vicinity of your village, you didn't get to see him in his last hours." When they had heard this news from the Venerable Ananda, the malice and their sons and daughters and their wives felt wretched and unhappy and were overcome with sadness. With dishevelled hair, some spread their arms wide and called out. They fell to the ground, broken, and rolled back and forth. "All too soon will the Blessed One attain final nibbana. All too soon will the Happy One attain final nibbana. All too soon will the eye of the world disappear." Then the malice and their sons and daughters and their wives, feeling wretched and unhappy and overcome with sadness, went to Upavatana, the sal grove of the malice, and approached the Venerable Ananda. Ananda thought, "If I present the malice one by one to pay their respects to the Blessed One, it will be getting light and still they will not have finished paying their respects. I had better divide them into various family groups and then present them to the Blessed One to pay their respects, announcing that a mala of such and such a name along with his sons, his wives, his retinue, and his friends bows down at the feet of the Blessed One. So the Venerable Ananda divided the malas of Kusinara into various family groups and presented them to the Blessed One to pay their respects, announcing that a mala of such and such a name, along with his sons, his wives, his retinue, and his friends, bowed down at the feet of the Blessed One. In this way, he presented the malas to the Blessed One to pay their respects in the first watch. Now at that time, a wanderer called Subhuta was living in Kusinara, and when he heard people say that the final nibbana of the ascetic Gotama would take place in the last watch of that very night, he thought, "I have heard senior and elder wanderers, the teachers of teachers, say that only once in a while does a Tathagata, who is a perfectly awakened arahat, appear in the world, and tonight in the last watch the final nibbana of the ascetic Gotama will take place. A particular doubt has arisen in me, but I feel confident the ascetic Gotama can teach me the truth in a way that will allow me to get rid of this doubt." So the wanderer Subhuta went to Upavattana, the sal grove of the malas, and approached the Venerable Ananda and said to him, "I have heard wanderers say that only once in a while does a Tathagata, who is a perfectly awakened arahat, appear in the world. A particular doubt has arisen in me, but I feel confident the ascetic Gotama can teach me the truth in a way that will allow me to get rid of this doubt. Good Ananda, I should like to be permitted to see the ascetic Gotama." At this, the Venerable Ananda said to Subhuta, "Enough, Subhuta, do not bother the Tathagata. The Blessed One is tired." A second and a third time the wanderer Subhuta said to him, "I have heard wanderers say that only once in a while does a Tathagata appear in the world. I should like to be permitted to see the ascetic Gotama." A third time, too, the Venerable Ananda said to Subhuta, "Enough, Subhuta, do not bother the Tathagata. The Blessed One is tired." The Blessed One heard this conversation between the Venerable Ananda and the wanderer Subhuta. Then he spoke to Ananda, "Enough, Ananda. Do not refuse Subhuta. He should be allowed to see the Tathagata. Everything Subhuta will ask me, he will ask only out of a concern to understand, not to bother me. And once I am asked, whatever I shall explain to him, he will quickly understand." Then the Venerable Ananda said to the wanderer Subhuta, "Go, Subhuta. The Blessed One gives you his permission." Then the wanderer Subhuta approached the Blessed One, and having approached, he saluted the Blessed One respectfully, exchanging pleasing and polite words with him, before sitting down to one side. Once seated, he said to the Blessed One, "There are ascetics and Brahmins who have communities and followings, and are the teachers of those followings, who are well known and of some repute, who have found a way across and are thought holy by many. For example, Purana Kassapa, Makali Gosala, Ajita of the Blanket of Hair, Pakuta Kachayana, Sanjaya Belitaputta, and Nigantha Nataputta. Now have all of these achieved direct knowledge as they claim, or has none achieved it, or have some achieved it and some not?" "Enough, Subhuta. This question of whether all of these have achieved direct knowledge as they claim, or whether none has, or some have and some have not, can wait. I shall teach you the truth, Subhuta. Listen and pay careful attention to what I shall say." "Yes, sir," replied the wanderer Subhuta to the Blessed One. The Blessed One said, "In a system of teaching and discipline, where the Noble Eightfold Path is not found, the ascetic is also not found, and neither are the second, third, and fourth ascetics. But a system of teaching and discipline where the Noble Eightfold Path is found, the ascetic is also found, and so too are the second, third, and fourth ascetics. Now in this system of teaching and discipline, the Noble Eightfold Path is found, and certainly the ascetic is found here. and the second, third, and fourth ascetics. Other contrary systems are empty of ascetics, but if the monks here live properly, the world should not be empty of arahats. I was 29 years of age, Subhuta, when I went forth in search of what is good. Now it is more than 50 years since I went forth, Subhuta, to abide in the realm of the way of truth, outside which there is no ascetic, nor the second, nor the third, nor the fourth ascetic. Other contrary systems are empty of ascetics, but if the monks here live properly, the world should not be empty of arahats. At this, Subhuta the wanderer said to the Blessed One, "Excellent, sir, excellent. As if someone were to set upright what had been knocked down, or reveal what had been hidden, or point out the way to someone who was lost, or hold a lamp up in the dark so that those with eyes could see. Just so the Blessed One has made the truth clear in various ways. Sir, I go to the Blessed One for refuge, and to the teaching, and the community of monks. I should like to receive the going forth ordination in the presence of the Blessed One. I should like to receive higher ordination." Subhuta, someone who was previously a follower of another religious school, and who wants to receive the going forth and higher ordinations in this system of teaching and discipline, should wait 4 months. After 4 months, when the monks are satisfied in their minds, they will bestow the going forth and higher ordinations to make him a monk. But in this particular case, I recognize that people can be different. Sir, if those who were previously the followers of another religious school, and who want to receive the going forth and higher ordinations in this system of teaching and discipline, should wait 4 months, and after 4 months, when the monks are satisfied in their minds, they will bestow the going forth and higher ordinations to make them monks. Then I shall wait 4 years, and after 4 years, when the monks are satisfied in their minds, they may bestow the going forth and higher ordinations to make me a monk. Then the Blessed One spoke to the Venerable Ananda. Therefore, Ananda, you should bestow on the wanderer Subhuta the going forth ordination. Yes, sir, replied the Venerable Ananda to the Blessed One. And Subhuta said to the Venerable Ananda, "It is something that counts for you, Ananda, something very advantageous to you, that you have been anointed as pupils in the presence of the teacher." So Subhuta the wanderer received the going forth and higher ordinations in the presence of the Blessed One. Straight after he had been ordained, the Venerable Subhuta withdrew alone, and living attentive, determined, and resolute, he soon lived here and now, having attained the ultimate goal of the spiritual life, experiencing it for himself through direct knowledge, the goal for the sake of which sons of families properly go forth from the household life into homelessness. He understood. Birth is destroyed, the spiritual life lived, done is what was to be done. There is nothing further required to this end. So the Venerable Subhuta became one of the arahats. He was the last of the direct disciples of the Blessed One.